Thanks for joining us. This past couple of days have been pretty interesting, and it is an interesting day because it's New Year's Eve, and tomorrow will be the year what?
2015.
Can hardly believe it. And so all of you, welcome. Let's give everybody a big hand for being here this last day. And we have with us today the ones who have been with us the last couple of days.
Ellen.
And Brandon.
And Doris. So let's get ready to finish up this magazine so we can get ready for the brand new one coming out tomorrow. Are you ready?
Yes.
Reach for your dreams. Dreams sound like something you do when you sleep, but they're more than that, aren't they?
Oh, definitely. Those dreams don't always make sense. But
no, they don't get all mixed up.
We want dreams and plans for our lives that we want to go after and run after.
In fact, I kind of wish the article had been called Reach for Your Goals, because goals seem to be, the motivation is a little bit stronger for goals than just something you dream of. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great point. You know, goals are something we usually make for sure. You know, we make a deliberate point to make goals.
It's kind of worthwhile, like.
Yeah, something that we feel like we are will be able to attain or to reach. But sometimes dreams, like we use in the title, we sometimes feel like we can't reach them.
Unless if you want to dream to be the president of your country or something, you might not make it.
Right.
You might be the president of your company, but then you might not even make that. Who knows?
That's right. And I think goals are something we think of, a daily goal or, you know, a yearly goal, but a dream might be something even bigger that we might not reach for several years.
Mm-hmm. And goals are kind of more like accomplishments of certain things that contribute or help the world in some way, whereas a dream might be more something you like to do personally.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
it might be a much more personal desire.
So I kind of think reaching for goals is a good thing to talk about, too.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, that's just a title anyway. And this man, Douglas Nicholson, he had something he wanted to do. It was a bad time in his life. And the article started on page 43, and we did 43 and 44. Let's just give a brief summary of what he was trying to do and how he was getting on with his goals.
Well, yeah, we begin the article. We had begun it by understanding where Douglas Nixon was when he came up with this dream. He had been in a very bad period of his time. He even describes it as the Dark Ages. But he came up with a dream, which was to travel around the world.
That's right, and he gathered a bunch of magazines and travel brochures, and he saw photos and landmarks, and he thought, wow, I want to visit these places, and he set out to do it, and now we see that he has done that. He has actually visited 7 continents and 100 countries.
Right, and he's still setting new goals. And how old is he now?
He's 68.
68, so he's still got a few good years left if he takes care of himself and everything goes well, right?
Right, absolutely.
So it's kind of a motivation article in a way, but I think it's more of a kind of a purpose in life thing. And when we reach the end of the year, we like to think about, is it going to be a good year next year? Now remember, don't be afraid, because fear is the thing that will keep you from accomplishing your goals.
That's right. That is the big problem that we have, that we face. We oftentimes are afraid to go after our goals, and we'd rather just do nothing because then we think we're safe. But actually, we're not accomplishing anything by doing that either.
That's true. So we're looking forward to new things in the new year. That's why we say new. And the word new is a very exciting word because it can be fresh, starting over. So new year, new goals, and new accomplishments. Isn't that great?
Yeah, and new beginnings, right? Everybody gets kind of a fresh, clean slate.
Yeah, maybe you didn't accomplish everything you wanted to this year, but you have a new start now. You can try again.
That's true, right? So let's find out where we're going to start today. We found that he likes reading, and he had really read a lot. He'd done a lot of things, and he went to the Boy Scouts. He became an Eagle Scout. And so, you know, he did done quite a bit. He should not have been at that place where he sort of like, he felt, you know, he hit the wall. But hardships came to him, and it was very difficult for him.
Yeah, sometimes no matter what we do, of course, hardships come. And so that's what happened with him. He was a very accomplished person, but he still went through a rough time, and so he had to overcome those obstacles.
Right. So as we look at our lesson today, we're going to start on page 45, and we're going to find out something that he felt was good. He made an investment. And an investment means that we put something into something. It could be money or time.
Right. Investment is just something you find worthwhile to, spend money or time or, you know, your energy.
You want to do something that is worthy, that is worth doing, not just making an investment to do something just for fun and it's gone, there's nothing left, right?
That's right. You invest in a relationship, you invest in something, some activity that you like to do.
So let's just see what he did, then we can talk about other things that you might want to do. So open your magazines now to page 45, and we'll read the first column.
A worthy investment. He's a member of the Traveler's Century Club, a worldwide organization with 2,000 members who can lay claim to having visited at least 100 countries. The application is on an honor system. Nixon crams sites into his travels. He estimates that throughout the past 4 decades, he has spent $200,000 on travels. Relatively cheap for visiting 100-plus countries. At the start, Europe on $5 a day was his companion, perhaps the greatest investment I ever made. Sometimes it's not exactly leisurely travel. In April of this year, he visited 5 states in the Southeast, usually squeezed onto one side of a business trip. You rent a car, get 2 boxes of fig bars and get going, says Nixon. I can't tell you how many museums I've walked into at 5 to 5 in the afternoon before they closed. I look at the museum and then get out of there.
So he made an investment as taking part in a club. It's called the Traveler's Century Club. And I don't know much about it, but it says it's a worldwide organization. But if it's worldwide, it should have more than 2,000 members, seems to me.
Yeah, well, you have to have traveled to many places. I guess maybe that's why there's only 2,000.
Right, because they lay claim to have visited at least 100 countries, so no wonder there's not more people, right?
Right. I'm pretty sure not that many people have actually been to 100 countries or more.
So to lay claim to means that you just say, yes, I have done that. Now, sometimes it might be hard to prove this. So how do you know if it's true that they did or not?
Well, in this case, they use an honor system, which is that when you say or you claim that you've done this, they believe you.
Yeah, and we do that, you know, sometimes maybe in families or organizations. Things are based on the honor system. They don't actually go and check on you. They just believe your word.
So the century part, you've been to 100 different places. So he really loves traveling. You'd think by now he'd be a little tired of taking his picture in front of all those things, gathering all those pebbles in his house. But he crams these sites into his travels. So he gets as much as he can out of each trip. He sees as many places he can. Crams means to push together tightly.
Right. Another word for that might even be squeezed, to squeeze something tightly. And he has estimated that throughout the past 4 decades, he's spent about $200,000 on these travels.
And well, it's probably in different currencies, too. You know, that's the equivalent of U.S. money. But it's relatively, it means it's comparatively cheap. If you've been to 100 more, we say plus, means 100 at least 100 and more countries. So whether it's cheap or not, he certainly did get around.
Yeah, it sounds like a good value for all those countries. $200,000 doesn't sound too bad.
Well, there was this book that's called Europe on $5 a Day that would show you where you could stay at hostels and buy cheap things. I think it's gone up to 15 or 25 a day now. I don't think it's $5 anymore.
Yeah, this was written a long time ago.
It was written a long time
ago. Probably has gone up with inflation.
Yeah. Right, that's right. Yeah. But that was his companion. It wasn't really a friend, like a companion, but he took it everywhere he went with him. Right. And what did he feel about that little booklet? Did it help him much?
Yeah, he said it was his companion, and so he said it was the greatest investment he ever made. So he loved this book, and it helped him with his travels, I'm sure.
Well, a lot of students used a book like that, you know. Now, you said you went to different countries. Did you spend much money when you went there?
When I was younger, I always traveled with my family, so I wasn't necessarily in charge of the financial decisions, but when I went as an adult, I definitely have tried to use, cheaper ways to travel.
What about you?
Yeah, well, I traveled some when I was younger, all in the U.S., and then when I got older, of course, I went to South America, and then I came to Asia.
How did you go there, on an airplane or a boat or what?
To South America? Uh-huh. Yes, we flew. We flew from Miami.
Because that's kind of far in a ship.
Yeah. Yeah, we flew there.
Right. Well, why did you go there?
Well, actually, I went there on a missions trip when I was in college, and so I raised some money for that. And
was
so
that
we went
expensive?
There for about 10 days. It wasn't too bad. I don't remember the exact figure, but we went there for about 10 days, and we were quite busy.
Well, I think that's kind of nice when we go on trips and have goals to help people someplace. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of motivation makes it more worthwhile, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have also traveled to Central America, to Belize, to do similar things, to help people build things.
Well, I traveled with the Heavenly Melody Singers, and I don't know how many countries we've been to, at least 30, maybe more, but we've been to places like the Faroe Islands and Brazil and a lot of different places. But we went there to perform or to be there, but also meet people and help people in many ways, too.
Right, to minister to
them. A good way to travel. Mm-hmm. So it's not exactly leisurely travel when you go for another purpose, is it?
That's right. If it's just leisurely travel, you think of a vacation, you're just going for fun, but sometimes it can be stressful, or sometimes you go take a trip to help people, like we were just talking about.
Well, I know a lot of people that, in Asia who've gone over to Africa to help people, and people that have gone to India and Nepal, like dentists to help them, and doctors that have gone to help people when there's diseases. So a lot of trips could be not just for seeing people, but the motivation could be to help people. Mm. And you also see people, so you learn at the same time, don't you?
That's right. You combine different things, and you're going to have maybe a couple days for fun as well, and so you can help people and enjoy your time there as well.
So I think that would be worthwhile if you want to travel and see things. Try to do something to help somebody, not just go there to look around, but go there to help out and do something.
Mm-hmm. I think recently they've even began to do volunteer vacations.
Volunteer vacations,
you pay money to go help people.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very good, right. Well, this past year, this man who's now 68 visited 5 states in the Southeast, and he usually squeezed onto one side of a business trip. So that's a good way to do it. You're going on a business trip, so he's back in business, but then take an evening or the next day off and see something in that area. And that's a good way to look at things. Don't go all the way just to visit, to look at it.
Right. It seems very economical, too. It makes sense money-wise to, if you're already going to be someplace for a reason, to also, add a couple extra days so you can look around.
You're there, just might as well take some time to see what's around, and you don't have to pay special airfare to go back there or whatever.
That's true. Like, if you do rent a car, get a couple of things to eat. You could get fig bars or instant noodles, or whatever it is that you like, and then get on your way. And sometimes he'd probably do business and he had a little bit of time, and then what would he do at the end of his business day before it was supper? What did he do?
Well, he would just go by a museum and maybe only open for 5 more minutes, but he would go in and check it out. He made the most of his time, is what he's saying.
I don't think the people in the museum really appreciated that. They probably weren't glad to see somebody come in. When is this fellow going to get out of here?
Right.
But at least he took a quick look around. Mm-hmm. And then he took a look at the museum, and then he left. He got out of there. He said, okay, at least I saw something here.
That's right.
A painting, a statue, something. Yeah. Right. And probably since he read a lot, he knew a lot about those places. Remember, he made notes and he put them up and said, I'm going to do this and this. So I think he had them all written down.
Right. I'm sure, you know, anytime you're traveling, it's always kind of a good idea to learn a little bit about where you're going first.
This is what I tell people when we do travel articles, either take your magazine or cut them out. And people have done that. They've traveled and they've said, I had this article in Advance Magazine, and I went to see the things they talked about. Mm-hmm. It's a good guide.
Well, and it's good. That's a good link to have the reading along with travel, because you read about something or learn about it, and it sparks an interest in you, and you actually can go see it later on. And so you'll be, of course, you'll enjoy it much more.
Right. And of course, it's so much easier now than it used to be when this man started doing that. You can have your smartphone or your little iPads or whatever and just Google something and say, what is a historic place near here?
Mm-hmm.
And they will show you something and a good place to do something. And it's so much more convenient and even shows you on your GPS system how to get there.
Right. Now we have a very, you know, convenient way of getting around. Hopefully not getting lost too often, which is, you know, Google Maps or, you know, any other map system you can find online. So, you know, make the most of your time.
So having these things with you is a worthy investment. And if you do have your cell phone, you can have Advance Magazine on your cell phone. That's a worthy investment to get the e-edition of the paper.
Definitely. It's going to be much more convenient for you.
That's right. So there's a lot of ways to do things. But remember what we said before, that the biggest thing that kept people from doing something was what?
Fear.
So don't let fear stop you. Let's finish reading the article.
Don't let fear stop you. He keeps on with the motivation talk. One reason people don't write down their goals is that if they don't achieve them, they will think they are a loser, and that is just too painful. It's not failure that they should fear. It's simply not trying. In the late 1990s, Nixon decided to try to find love again. He went on Match.com and placed his bio. This year, he and Karen Nixon celebrated their 10th wedding anniversary. She hadn't traveled much before they met. Now Karen's been to 38 countries and 20 states, she says, although she stays home from the more grueling trips, as a few years ago she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. She also now talks the motivation talk. Visualize what you want, make it a goal, and it will happen.
Well, as we end today, once again, we're talking about fear and the importance of not letting that stop you. And fear many times does stop us from doing things, but we shouldn't allow it to do that. And I can think of times in my life when I've been very afraid to do something, but I've lost out on maybe helping people or getting involved in new things or even making new relationships because I was just too afraid to get involved.
And fear can be a thing that keeps you from doing a lot of things you want to accomplish.
Right, absolutely. And one way that Douglas is trying to help us overcome that is he's telling us to write down our goals.
Mm-hmm. So he keeps on this, you know, this motivation talk. And he says one reason they don't write down their goals is because if they don't get them, they don't do them, people will say, you're a loser. Or they'll feel like it's a loser. They will lose face. That's so painful.
Right. Nobody likes to feel like they've failed at anything. So many times we try to minimize the ways in which we remind ourselves that we failed. And
okay.
One of those is when we write things down.
Mm-hmm. So really, failure is not what we should really fear. What should we fear?
Well, we should fear not trying. You know, a lot of times we are afraid of failure, but basically he's saying, no, that's not what you should be focusing on. You should be focused on whether or not you're trying to do new things and trying to reach your goals.
And, you know, I think that's true with things that we just do around where we live, whether we go out or not. You say, well, I'm not sure if I can learn this, so I'm not going to try. We can learn a lot of things if we try.
Right. I mean, if you never try, you never find out whether you like it or not. And you don't have to start big. You can start very small. Perhaps it's trying new foods. You can try a new food, and then you might find out that you love this new food.
And
you
can do things, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of people might be surprised that they can do much more than they're doing now if they would just try some new things.
Well, that's true. In fact, he tried even getting married again. Do you remember he was divorced?
Right.
And went in the late 1990s, what happened?
Well, Nixon decided to try to find love again, so he went on to a matchmaking website in the United States called Match.com, and he placed his information there. And this year, him and his wife, Karen Nixon, are now celebrating their 10th wedding anniversary.
So it seemed to work out okay for him.
Yeah.
We're not recommending these match sites, however. Okay, but anyway, the idea is that he did think, I'm going to find someone to be with me. Mm-hmm. And so he put his information on, and through that, he did get a relationship and married this lady called Karen. And they've been married for 10 years. So he has somebody to be with him. Now, did she really like to travel? Was she a big traveler?
Actually, it says here that she didn't travel much before they met, but things changed once she met Douglas, and now she's been to 38 countries and 20 states.
Well, that's pretty good, 38 countries, if she hadn't traveled much. So why does she stay home instead of going around with him more now than she likes to do it?
Well, we see that now she has been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and so this is a very serious disease, and it affects your nerves, your nervous system. Your nerves gradually become destroyed, mm-hmm. and your speech is affected, and sight, and ability to move.
Well, you can see now why she stays home from these very difficult trips. What word here did we talk about that means difficult?
Well, we use the word grueling.
Mm-hmm.
So grueling, as you mentioned, just means tiring and difficult and very demanding trips.
Well, some trips, you know, you have to walk a lot and you have mm-hmm. to hike. And maybe she could go on a trip where you just go check into a hotel is no problem.
Right. So maybe when she goes with Douglas, she goes on some more leisurely trips and not so much the grueling trips where you're hiking or you're walking a lot.
But she still believes in it, though, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's also being very motivating in the way she talks. And she says, visualize what you want, make it a goal, and it will happen. And so she's on board with being a motivator.
So you can tell that she's supportive of what he believes in, too. And so that's a good thing for us to think about, is to make it happen. Now, remember, we said reading was important, and he read so many things, like we mentioned this little New Testament he read, and we also suggested that might be a good time for you if you've never read the Bible. You might want to start reading it this year. It's a very interesting, exciting book.
Right. It is a book of knowledge, right? It can teach us many things about many different topics, and it's a great book to read.
Yeah, I can give you instruction about life and a lot of problems. We all have problems, and so we can go there and find out what it says about life.
Right. You can read the whole thing through or read some sections of it, and you can even get it put on your mobile device so you can read it. And
that's
that might be a good way to motivate you, to give you encouragement when you need it. And also, it will give you good information about the past, the present, and the future. So it might be a good time for you to start reading the book that has sold more than any book in the whole world, the Bible.
Yeah.
Right? It's never too late.
It's never too late. So have a good New Year's Eve and a better New Year ahead. And we'll be looking forward to you being with us. So let's keep motivated. Let's help each other and make the world a better place.
Yeah, and make sure that you have some new goals for the coming year, and don't make them too large. Set some goals that are attainable, something that you would enjoy doing possibly, and have fun with it. Don't make it too challenging or too difficult. Maybe you want to travel yourself. Well, think of a few places maybe that aren't too far away that you would like to go to, and actually go ahead and plan some of them out and maybe get some other people to go along with you. I think the point here really is that we can think of many things, but we really have to make a plan of action.
Yeah, and you can even find a friend who can help you and encourage you. Having a friend to encourage you may even make it more fun for you.
Well, if you'll remember what Douglas Nicholson said over here on page 44, he said to don't give up your goals. He said three things. What was the first thing he said?
Define them.
And then he said make a plan.
And then take action or chase your dream. And those are good three things to remember. Put down what you want to do, and write how you're going to do it, and then do something about it. Take action, right?
Right.
So may this be a good action year. We hope it's going to be great for all of you. And no matter what you do, realize that the world will be a better place if you are a better you, because we are the ones that make up the world.
That's right. And so you want to make sure, like I said before, have some goals that are full of purpose, that bring purpose to your life. And as Doris was talking about before, go out and help people. Have some of those goals in your life. Don't make it just all about yourself. Think about others as well.
So Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.